Welcome to the Volatile Vet Radio Show, where finance meets fortitude, and the stock market isn't the only thing with battle scars. At Abshire Family Financial, we are vets in more ways than one, here to help you navigate the world of wealth, investments, and financial independence with the precision of a sniper and the patience of a drill sergeant on his first cup of coffee. We don't just talk strategy, we equip you with real knowledge designed to bring about success, which is why we give you real-world rubber meets the road examples every week as part of our retirement mission. We want you to happily retire, and RETIRE is an acronym that stands for retirement, estate, taxes, income, risk, and enjoyment. To accomplish all those areas, you need a plan that's not just about surviving, but built to last. So whether you're dodging market downturns, wrestling with retirement plans, or just trying to make sense of why your money disappears faster than your willpower in a donut shop, stick around. We're going to cut through the noise, drop some knowledge, and maybe have a little fun along the way. So ladies and gentlemen, lock and load, because financial freedom is the mission. And here on The Volatile Vet, we always adapt and overcome.
Welcome back to The Volatile Vet Radio Show, hosted by Abshire Family Financial. Yours truly, Jesse Abshire, here to let you know that we are a well-versed, full independent financial firm. We specialize in tax-free retirement and holistic retirement planning. Our goal here is helping you maximize your income, protect those assets, profit from inflationary environments, not just defend against them. Doing all of these will maximize your happiness and your health. Yes, we have an office in downtown Reno, and we have offices coast to coast. Our firm has clients all over this fantastic country of ours, and we have met with thousands of you over the years of being in this space and in this customer service, serving people like you. And it is our passion, my team's passion, to help people get to retirement safely, understand and manage their risks appropriately, maintain family harmony, and let's get as close to that 0% tax bracket as we possibly can. So here at the firm, we are honored to say that we have retired hundreds of times, not us exactly, but by proxy through our clients. And here today, we're on that retire mission. So some of you that are just now joining us, our retire mission is retire. It's an acronym for us. So R is for retirement, E for estate, T for taxes, I for income, R for risk management, and E for enjoyment. Because you know what? Retirement, you should be able to enjoy all of that hard work you put in to get there. And anyone that calls in today, 775-899-2243. Again, 775-899-2243. You're going to get that free Compass report. We're getting very well known for that. The Compass report lets you see where you are right now. If you want to make any changes in the future, what that could possibly look like, we're going to do that all completely free for you. Again, no cost. Our goal is to provide some value up front and see if that value could earn your business. Also, for making an appointment today, we will be giving away the new Holistic Retirement Planner book, Emerging Risks for American Savers and How to Overcome Them with Long Game Thinking. And your host, myself, Jesse Abshire, also wrote a little bit in this book for you to be able to enjoy. And I will sign that when you come into the office to see us. Now let's go ahead and shift gears and get into today's show. So the past few shows we've been doing, we've really been concentrating a lot on how to create certain types of income from old 401ks, qualified or deferred tax money. And we're going to dig a little deeper and talk about the title of the show today, and that is macro versus micro. So at this point, right, you're probably thinking, like, why hasn't anyone discussed anything like this before? Well, it's a common reaction that I get from a lot of savers just like you. Why isn't anyone talking about this like long-term approach to taxes? Because we can have the best portfolio setup you have. We could have all this fantastic capital appreciation growth. And if we don't have a plan in the future to draw this money down, we are missing a full part of our plan. Because when I have somebody come into the office and they say, hey, look, I have $600,000 in my 401k. Well, no, you don't. You have $600,000 minus your, let's say, deduction to your silent partner, which is also known as the IRS. And then we get what's left, right? So that the answer to this, why isn't anyone talking about this? Well, that answer is simple. And once you understand it, you'll find it much easier to plan for taxes in retirement. See, the truth in my experience, the vast majority of Americans, the retirement advice is given through a micro tax lens only. A micro tax lens examines how savings decisions will impact your taxes in a short-term variable, usually in that given year. Well, that doesn't help us for the 10, 20 plus years we're going to be in retirement. That just kind of solves for this year. So when we save in a tax-deferred account, like, right, 401k, traditional IRA, we receive a tax deduction for that year. That's a micro benefit. If I put $6,000 into an IRA, my taxable income in 2020 is now going to go down by $6,000. Oh, okay, cool. That's neat. If we evaluate my savings approach through a micro lens, I made a good decision. I lowered my taxes in that given year. But the biggest mistake savers make when it comes to taxes in retirement is solely relying on a micro tax lens. What you also need is a macro, M-A-C-R-O, gigantic macro tax lens. Macro tax lens isn't concerned solely with short-term viewpoints. Its goal is to evaluate and minimize lifetime taxes in retirement. As we view this through a macro lens, my savings approach, that example I gave you a minute ago, contributing $6,000 to an IRA, might not have been such a smart decision. After all, I've just spent this entire opening topic for this radio show today discussing taxes in retirement may not be lower than my taxes today. So in this case, I may have actually increased my future taxes and exposed myself to a greater future legislative tax risk by contributing to a tax-deferred account. I believe that the single most important thing you can do for long success in retirement is shift your focus from micro to macro. And nowhere is that more important than when it comes to taxes. A micro approach to retirement taxes can help us answer the question, what is the benefit of saving pre-tax money for retirement? But macro approach to retirement taxes can also help us answer a different question. What is the cost of saving pre-tax money for retirement? Now, if that's something that you have thought about, give us a call, 775-775-8992243. Again, 775 800-899-2243, or visit us on volatilevet.com, and you can schedule your own appointment right there, and we'd be happy to hear from you. Not only do we want to build that compass report for you, but I definitely want to make sure that you get this book and all the information that this thing holds, just because we value your time and the opportunity to earn your business and to hang out with you. So now we're going to continue to go here on my favorite part. Taxes, taxes. Oh yeah, you guessed it. Taxes. So it's not because I love taxes. For any of you that have ever listened to this show or visited us on the website or saw me speak in public or listened to any of my Instagram social media content, you know that, in fact, I don't enjoy them much at all. I hate owing them, and I hate paying them. Additionally, I hate, man, that's such a strong word, but still true, seeing my clients pay bills to their silent partner known as the Internal Revenue Service when they absolutely do not have to. Rather, it's because I get to try to fundamentally change the way you think about retirement. So I have a lot of people that we strategically partner with that are extremely smart. They give fantastic insights into the aspects of the market and income that perhaps some people did not consider before. But most of you at least think about market forces when you're planning for retirement. Most of you have considered how to make your income last a lifetime. You know what? Many of you probably have never considered before the impact of taxes on your retirement. And I'm shocked as I speak to savers across the country and gain a sense of how few of us have thought long-term on taxes. I mean, a simple question is like how much we might pay and what can we do to reduce that amount? In fact, I consider it a silent retirement risk. No one talks about taxes, but all of us are impacted by them. So before we go on, I want to make something absolutely crystal clear. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a tax professional of any kind. Just a saver with a basic understanding of this system and an educator in financial literacy. And I also have no idea what your situation is. And that's what makes this topic that much more important. And for your specific situation, you should consult a tax professional about any specific questions that you have. And with that in mind, I want to give you a general understanding of today's tax environment and how it could impact your retirement funds. All right? So hang on with me now. Let's think how Americans save. And then how they're taxed because of how they've chosen to save. Perhaps you've already given some basic thought to the tax status of your retirement account. Perhaps, like many savers, you haven't thought about that much at all. Retirement savings tend to fall under one of three common tax statuses. First one, most common. Americans save by far in tax-deferred accounts. And I'm willing to bet some of your savings are in a tax-deferred vehicle. And everybody's like, well, for those of you that don't know what a tax-deferred vehicle is, don't worry, I got you. Tax-deferred accounts, sometimes called qualified accounts or defined contribution accounts, include 401ks and individual retirement accounts, as well as public employee 457 plans and teacher 403Bs. The money saved in these accounts are not taxed at the time of contribution. If you saved $6,000 in an IRA this year, you can deduct $6,000 from your taxable income. The money in tax-deferred accounts is taxed when you access the funds in retirement, meaning you pay taxes in retirement on both the contributions and all the associated growth funds in that account. So basically, we are utilizing this for our life savings in some points. And the government knows that. They are saying, oh, wait, we would rather you, taxpayer, defer all of this money for when you really, really need it, and then we're going to tax it on every single dollar you pull out when it's worth the most and when you need it the most. Well, that sounds like somebody sat down and made a plan for that. Okay? Then we get into the next type of account, tax-free accounts. Now, these are rising in popularity due to social media content creators on TikTok, you know, Instagram, trying to kind of explain these and get more information out into the world. It's like, hey, these things exist, you guys. We can use these. These accounts, which include Roth 401ks, Roth IRAs, they are taxed differently from a tax-deferred account. In tax-free accounts, you make contributions with after-tax dollars. That means if you contribute $6,000 to a Roth IRA this year, you'll have to pay taxes on those funds prior to contributing them into that account. However, once the funds are in that account, they are not taxed again. Not taxed again. I want to drive that one home, right? In the future, when you access tax-free funds, no additional tax is due on the contributions or the associated growth. So if any of this is things that you had questions about or thoughts that you had of what type of accounts you've been saving in, give us a call. 775- 899-2243. We'd be happy to look at that for you. Happy to help you understand them and walk through them. Again, 775-899-2243. Or you can visit us at volatilevet.com. If you're savvy and you're using social media, you can also find us on Instagram at volatilevet on Instagram. You can message us there, comment on shows, anything like that. So let's talk about our third and final most common account, taxable accounts. These accounts are often used for funds above and beyond what can be contributed to a tax-deferred or tax-free account. Money in these accounts, which can include a brokerage or savings account, is taxed each year that the account sees capital gains. Gains in a savings account, for example, are taxed every year. It's simply really important to understand the different options your retirement funds can offer you. And now we're going to dig into that part that you've all been waiting for, our favorite four-letter word here on the Volatile Vet. That word is math, spelled M-A-T-H. We are famous for some math on the radio, right? So let's get that pen and paper ready to go. because I've had at least two clients come in from previous radio shows into the office that said, hey, this is the math I got from the show. Can you run this math on my stuff so I can see what I can get in retirement, what my taxes are? And you have no idea how happy that makes me to know that this is able to connect with you listeners out there like that. So we're going to do this section a little bit slower, and I'm going to use kind of like an example client, okay? So let's say I have this friend. His name is Nick. Nick has been saving in an IRA for years. And now that retirement is on the horizon, he's starting to plan income for himself and his wife. He's done a good job of savings, and he has, let's say, roughly $150,000, excuse me, $850,000 has been saved in his IRA. Now, a few years ago, Nick wanted to see how much income he could generate a year from his IRA, but he was looking at the wrong number. Nick fell into the trap that so many of us do. He thought his IRA was worth $850,000. Well, it wasn't. Disregarding the moment any deductions or write-offs, Nick's total tax liability on his IRA was roughly 25%. So when he withdraws $50,000 a year from his IRA, he only gets to keep about $37,500. And I know you're all sitting out there thinking, well, wait a second, 50 minus 37.5, well, that's $12,500 difference. Where does that go? Taxes. Those are the taxes that he owes to his silent partner, the IRS. So let's put this another way. Nick is indebted to the IRS and its state and local partners for around 25% of his retirement funds. While he was saving, Nick got a tax deduction on his IRA contribution every year. It was like a loan he didn't have to repay anytime soon. But now, as Nick gets ready to retire, well, guess what? That loan, we're going to have to start repaying that thing. Now, I'm not suggesting that future taxes due are identical to having a true loan with the IRS. Obviously, the loan has defined terms. A set repayment schedule appears on your credit report and among, you know, other things. The concept is very similar, like you've saved for years, but these funds are not all yours. You have a silent partner. You have an obligation to repay some of these funds to the IRS. And unlike a true contractual loan, you don't even know the rate you're going to be charged until that debt comes due. Why don't most of us think about this? Well, because it doesn't impact us right now. It impacts us in the future, which is why this is part of retirement planning that I see missed so often, where we can grow these portfolios so big and be so excited. And then when we start to pull it down, it's like, well, wait a second. Well, this is actually worth less than what I got. Yeah. Yeah, it is. When you buy a house on a mortgage, you live in the house, right? You live in the house every day and you make your mortgage payments each month. But with your IRA, you're not using the money until years in the future. And the debt isn't immediately clear. It's about to become clear because when you begin accessing funds from your IRA or 401k, that's when that loan or you begin owing those taxes, you begin paying back your debt to the IRS. And it gets worse, right? In truth, you're paying back your IRS debt with interest. After all, you deferred taxes on your IRA contributions And you've also avoided paying taxes on the growth. In theory, this has given you more opportunities to compound interest, but now you'll be paying income taxes on your IRA contributions and all the growth that's occurred in your account. The IRS is taking its cut of your principal balance and your earnings. And oh man, what a hot topic today, right? So keep in mind, right, you financial warriors out there, if you're just now tuning in to the Volatile Vet, you already know we don't just talk about taking control of your financial future here. We're going to make it happen. And right now, I've got a mission for you. We're giving away a free Compass report, part of our retire mission. The first 7 callers get the new holistic retirement planner book. First 7, right? This is a powerful tool. Remember, our retire mission stands for retirement, estate, taxes, income, risk, and enjoyment, because you need a strategy that's built to last. So here's the mission. Go to volatilevet.com. Again, volatilevet.com to set up a meeting with us or give us a call at 775-899-2243 to lock in that free report. That's it, right? That's it. Easy peasy. But don't wait. These spots will go fast, right? Our phones tend to get going about this time. So call now, 775-899-2243, and let's get a clear understanding of at least where you're at right now. Doesn't mean we're trying to make changes, but in order to make changes, we really have to understand where we're trying to go. And does the current strategy or plan help us get there? I want to end this section of the radio show by anyone who's ever owned a business out there, right? Imagine having a business partner who owns 25% of your company. And you know that in the future, as the profits are distributed from your company, this partner will get 25%. But one day your partner informs you that he's changed his ownership stake without your permission, and now you owe them 30% of your profits. Take a break. We'll see y'all here in a second. Welcome back to the second part of our show today. We're talking about micro and macro strategies in retirement. This is your first time joining us here at the Volatile Vet Radio Show. We welcome you. We do hope now, especially I hope, that you have that pen and paper kind of ready to go in case our favorite four-letter word comes up, M-A-T-H, math, because we are here to learn things, right? And we just started talking about that silent business partner known as the IRS and how they can change the ownership in your retirement accounts whenever they want, right? That's madness. Madness. We would never agree to a business partner that can change his ownership without any type of approval, but we allow the IRS to do it with our retirement accounts every year. And some of you are wondering, like, wait a second, Jesse, what do you mean? Well, there's a risk status for this. This is called legislative risk. So I hope you're all kind of starting to think about different types of risks that might slightly be out of our control in our retirement, but we can plan for them. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen on Capitol Hill to build these, you know, certain things, like when you save into IRAs or 401ks, your savings are exposed to legislative risk. Now, let's just say, what is legislative risk, right? This is a risk that Congress may change tax law in the future. And those changes can either positively or negatively impact the amount of retirement funds you get to keep. qualified accounts, right? Deferred tax. We learned this already. Like IRAs and 401ks, most of us used to save are particularly susceptible to legislative risk. That's because in these accounts, you defer your taxes to the future. That means every tax law change between now and the day you take your last retirement distribution, that can impact your savings. What if Congress passes a bill raising taxes? We know that OB3A, the new one big beautiful bill that was just passed a little while ago in July, well, that kept our tax rate roughly for 3 years. What happens after that? What if Congress passes a bill that raises taxes because we're $37 trillion in debt and we kind of have to do something? Right? If the president signs it into law, suddenly you have to pay the IRS more and actually have less money to spend in your retirement. If a few years later, Congress changes your bracket, your tax bracket, you would again be helpless against those extra expenses. Sure, it's possible that Congress will continue to try to decrease rates and find money somewhere else. But historically, when this happens, it comes with a sunset period, and the low taxes are short-lived. Hardly something to rely on long term. It's often said when it comes to retirement, the tax code is written in pencil, which is why when we hear like, oh, we have a permanent tax change for like this current leadership that's in the House, right? Once that leadership leaves, that somebody could pull out an eraser. And for many of us, you know, retirement, it will be 20 or 30 years from now. And it's impossible to think that tax law will stay the same over such a long period. And if you look at history, well, it simply hasn't. And when the majority of your retirement savings are in qualified accounts, the value of your retirement account could be essentially up for vote every 2 to 4 years. This is when Congress people are elected, new presidents are selected, and better hope our 150 million U.S. voters have your retirement best interest in mind. Spoiler alert, you heard it here first on The Volatile Vet. Those 150 million people do not have your retirement account's best interest in mind. Now that we're back here for our reality session here on The Volatile Vet, I want to shift this focus into what we're going to call today the macro analysis. Now, I'm going to show you the potential difference in dollars and cents. After all, we love some math here on The Volatile Vet. So I'm going to do my very best to explain everything in a way even the math shy saver can understand. By the end of this episode, you'll probably never think about the micro taxes again. Now, if we're analyzing taxes through a macro lens, a macro analysis of taxes asks, what are the total potential taxes I may owe in retirement based on my current savings approach? Well, put it another way. If I have saved into a deferred account like a 401k or an IRA, what is the cost of my tax deferral? And this can be a hard question to answer. Sure, there are like some internet calculators like investor.gov, things like that. Even like for your mortgage, right? You can go in and enter your numbers, give your budgets, but it's not very easy to evaluate future taxes in retirement because that goalpost, as we previously learned through legislative risk, can be continually kind of moved away from you, and it can be manipulated in certain ways that is unpredictable to a sort, right? So if we're staying in these types of counts, we have to understand that we need to have a proper strategy, right? For example, like a Roth conversion strategy. When I take tax-deferred accounts like an IRA and I get that into a tax-free account like a Roth IRA, this usually means that the saver withdraws funds from the qualified account, pays the taxes on those funds, and then deposits the remaining funds into a tax-free account. We're in a sidebar here for a moment. Let's say that we wanted to create some type of guaranteed pension. Oh, there's the G word in finance, guaranteed, right? Yes, it's possible. You can also get other strategies that have increasing opportunities, but there are strategies that exist where you can take your traditional IRA, 401k, 403b, 457. You can do what's called a qualified transfer as long as you're moving it from its current home to its new home without ever taking possession of it. That is a non-taxable event known as a qualified transfer. There are also strategies out there if you are wanting to do long-term Roth conversions, and we can do this math in our appointment, right? When you call in 775-899-2243, again, 775-899-2243, or visit us at volatilevet.com to make that appointment. Not only do you get your Compass report, but we are giving away a signed copy of the new Holistic Retirement Emerging Risks for American Savers. Now, you go into these Roth conversions, certain times of year, like hint, hint, right now, these companies allow access to their balance sheet and they will actually help pay some of these taxes for you. Oh, you heard that right. I gave you a little pause to let that sink in, but that means that you could potentially convert most, let's say roughly 80 to 85% in a strategic Roth conversion inside of your marginal tax bracket, per calculations, obviously for you and just you, 80 to 85% of that tax conversion could be paid by somebody else. And all we have to do is either come out of pocket for the rest or use some of the growth in the asset to pay that tax. Let's hypothetically say that your specific strategy inside of your tax bracket said in 5 years, we can convert all of your qualified money into Roth money, 80 to 85% of that being paid by somebody else, 15% of that being paid by you, either the asset or growth or both, or out of pocket. And in 5 years or less, all of your money is now completely in Roth. And when you turn 73 years old, you do not have any RMDs. Required minimum distribution. What is that? A required withdrawal from qualified deferred tax accounts because the government has said, you have waited long enough to pull this money and we would like our tax bill. Okay, so there are things out there that we build. And then guess what? You transition this money, and then there are guaranteed setups where you can flip a switch and say, okay, now I'm going to take income from this account. Well, wait a second. We've transitioned that from IRA to Roth. When you take income, well, that income is now from a Roth. That means it's completely tax-free. That's fascinating. There's a lot of stuff out there that can do this. We do these calculations and our Roth rescue strategy in-house with, yeah, you guessed it, M-A-T-H, math. Step by step, every year we're going to have a plan for exactly based on your AGI, your adjusted gross income, your current tax bracket, how much we can convert, how much of a balance sheet we're going to have access to, and how much we have to come out of pocket. And then estimated kind of like growth potential to see how much income we can create from an asset like that, right? And we have tons of clients that love that because despite misunderstood concepts of Roth conversions, most people are under this concept like, oh, I can only do it inside of my brokerage account. You know, I take X amount of dollars and I pay the tax. Well, that's incredibly inefficient. Because if we're trying to transition money, I don't know about you, but I love spending other people's money. I would rather somebody else paid my tax bill and I kept my asset intact and kept it growing efficiently inside of an asset where I'm guaranteed not to lose money and then have the opportunity to take income from that in the future. Right? Now, we're going to go ahead and veer back. And I know that topic gets a lot of people, right? Because it's so out of the box. Well, that's what happens when you get into like a boutique shop. We get to do really creative things that these corporate brokerage can't do. They simply just can't do these. They're not allowed to, right? So if we're crunching numbers, let's say, like many savers, retirement assets are spread across more than one account. So when I went to analyze a client's tax liability, I decided to just focus on one account. Let's say that was $700,000 in an IRA. So I looked at the $700,000 and I thought of all the places that it would be taxed. First, I used a few assumptions because we have to have a baseline somewhere. So I assumed it would be about a 25% total tax liability in federal and state, both now and in retirement. Next, I assumed the IRA would grow at an annual pre-tax rate of, let's just say, 5%, because I wanted to determine the maximum in taxes my IRA could potentially generate. I also decided to model what would happen if I didn't spend the income I took out of the account. Rather, I factored placing that income in a taxable account earning an after-tax percent, an after-tax return of 4%. And since I wanted to see how much tax I, you know, would pay over my a period of time, let's just say that I took the assumption that this math problem, that person passed away at 90 years old. Pretty conservative, right? 5% growth, 25% flat tax rate, and the person passes away at 90. So I think you'll be stunned by the results, right? Because math is math, right? So let's look at all the places the IRA money could be taxed as it was used. And then we'll add it up and determine the total tax liability of this IRA. So the tax is when the funds are withdrawn, even either for income or in RMDs, required minimum distributions. As you may know, at age 72, 73, depending on your birthday, the IRS requires you to withdraw a minimum amount from your IRA each year called RMDs. Why? Because you've built up a lot of tax-deferred accounts, and the IRS wants to collect its tax money. It requires you to withdraw and pay taxes and set a minimum amount each year, which is calculated as a percent of your account value based on your life expectancy. Now, if you don't withdraw your RMD, you will be subject to a penalty tax of up to half of your missed RMD. And the IRS is very serious about this. It wants its share of your money that you have deferred, right? In addition to that, the IRA funds will be taxed if they are reinvested in a taxable account. And I'll do this math for you just here in a second, right? Remember, if I'm taking the funds and putting them into a taxable account, I'm still taxed like they were income. Then the IRA will be taxed when the person dies, and the remaining funds are passed to the heirs. Remember, unlike estate taxes, income taxes are due when funds are withdrawn from a qualified account. So if you leave your spouse or your children your remaining IRA value, they will have to pay the income tax when accessing these monies, right? This can be a huge concern for many savers and clients that we get through the radio show or directly in the firm. After all, when people pass away, there are two likely outcomes for the IRA funds. First, the spouse continues using the account. Now the spouse is paying taxes on the same amount of income at a higher rate because now they are a single filer. Many experts call this the widow's penalty because the surviving spouse sees his or her taxes rise based on a change in tax filing status, right? They're going from married, filing jointly, to single filer. The second outcome is how the children will inherit the IRA. Assuming the person lives a long, healthy life, the children would inherit the IRA at the height of their earning potential. When their own tax brackets might also be pretty high. Either way, it can mean a big tax bill for the heirs. For this analysis, I've assumed that all taxes on the IRA account balance are paid when the person passes away at 90. If the heirs continue to hold them in a tax-deferred account going forward, the situation is much, much worse than the following analysis. Now, as an additional investment, earnings would also be taxed. So, $700,000 in an IRA, right? We're going to do assumed tax rate, 25%. Pre-tax growth rate, 5%. All right, here, you know what? Time out. Hit pause. Go grab that pen. Go grab that pencil and that note paper. This is that math portion that I've seen some of you come into the office with. So here we go. I'm going to run it one more time. IRA value, $700,000. Assumed tax liability, 25%. Pre-tax growth rate, 5%. Received RMDs, required minimum distributions, age 72 to age 90 per IRS rules. Now, total taxes paid on RMDs, $230,390. Taxes paid on growth of the reinvested RMDs, $101,886. Taxes paid by heirs on remaining IRA value at death, age 90, $160,589. Total taxes paid in this scenario, $492,865. Wowza. That means on an account value of $700,000, we have a tax liability of $492,000. So this uncovered like nearly two-thirds at this point, 40 plus years of saving and all associated growth just has to pay off a future tax bill. That's not good planning. So now let's say that the RMDs were used as income rather than a reinvestment and the tax bill would be lower, but still incredibly high relative to the size of the account. Here we go. Example number two, pen and paper ready. IRA value, same amount, $700,000. Assumed tax liability, same amount, 25%. Pre-tax growth rate, 5%. Receive RMDs from age 72 to age 90, right? So not reinvesting them, putting them in the pocket. Total taxes paid on RMDs, $230,390. Taxes paid by heirs on remaining IRA value at death, roughly estimated at age 90, $160,589. Total taxes paid, $390,979. So if the RMD is spent instead, still owing the IRS $390,000 in taxes, more than half of the IRA value, right? The cost conversion, the other thing that is evaluated was the tax cost of converting the $700,000 in an IRA to a Roth. For this calculation, we don't need an Excel spreadsheet. If I took $700,000, I paid 25% in taxes on withdrawals, I would pay roughly one lump sum of $175,000 in taxes. That'd be done, right? So through age 90, I would owe only $175,000 in taxes. So let's do that math, right? If we're comparing them, keep qualified account, total taxes paid, $492,865. If I did a one-time hit you right now, full tax conversion, it cost me $175,000. Obviously, not guaranteed stuff here, right? But if I were to take a conservative approach to this conversion by doing two things, first, I would pay the taxes owed on these funds out of money I rolled over from my IRA and then deposit that net amount into the Roth. Second, I know that if I withdrew $700,000 from my IRA all at once, that would likely push me into a higher tax bracket, something that we like to avoid at any opportunity that we possibly can, unless it's part of the financial plan statistically. So instead, I would spread out the withdrawals over several years, conceptually by taking smaller amounts over time. To stay within the tax bracket, I'd pay around $175,000 in taxes to convert my IRA to a Roth IRA. When I compared keeping these funds in my IRA to converting these funds to a Roth IRA, I saw that only one of these options carried the possibility of never having to pay taxes on the funds again for both myself and whoever I wanted my heirs to be. Now, when that was considered, my potential taxes in retirement, it was like driving down a highway with two exits. On one exit, I pay $175,000 toll right now, today, and then can get to my destination without ever paying any additional tolls ever again. On the other exit, I stop at a toll booth after toll booth after toll booth after toll booth until I've paid $490,000 to get to my destination. Huh. Well, that doesn't sound like much of a thought at all, right? Assuming my taxes stay the same or go up, a Roth conversion represents the least amount of tax I will pay on my qualified account. After my conversion, no more taxes are due. Assuming I abide by the distribution rules of a Roth IRA, I think of this as a mandatory amount of taxes I owe the IRS in this account. But my projected taxes are much higher than that mandatory amount. And the difference is optional taxes and how they're choosing to be paid based on how I save going forward. And this analysis that I've given you, I projected to save about $317,000 in optional taxes above and beyond the mandatory amount if I maintain the IRA in its current status. Well, hey, you listener, pen and paper you, this is a wake-up call. Why hadn't it occurred to you and me and us and they before? Well, because no one had ever quantified how much the IRA's tax bill will actually be in retirement. But now you know. Now I know you do too. So we're going to use that information to our benefit. Okay, now if this is something that is burning in your mind right now because you know you have hundreds of thousands of dollars, who knows, maybe millions, in these qualified accounts, this is the time, right, to get this handled. If we make a plan on this, you don't have to worry about this stuff ever again. Give us a call here at the firm, 775-799-2243. Again, 775-899-2243. You can visit us at volatilevet.com. Again, that's volatilevet.com. And I'm going to add one more to this because we're talking about micro and macro tax bills and all associated things today. So, on the sponsoring firm's website, AbshireFamilyFinancial.com. So AbshireFamilyFinancial.com. You go to their website, you scroll down a little bit, you're going to see a link or a section that says, is my retirement tax bill too high? You can go in there and get a free report based on the math that we talked about today. You're going to input your qualified money. You're going to input your expected tax rate, and it will automatically populate an amount for you. In about 60 seconds after you hit enter, you're going to get a 3-4 page report outlining all the math that we just did today. Okay. Do that. Give us a call. Let's talk about it. Other than that, I see my light going off. Y'all have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you next time.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed representative.